Lawmakers in the Vermont House are poised to vote today on one of the biggest energy bills of the legislative session. Among other things, it would make every electric utility in Vermont get 100% of its power from renewables by the year 2035. And it would require that a lot more of that power come from new sources of renewable energy built in Vermont and New England. Well, here to talk with us about it is Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles. Hi, Abigail.
Hey, Mitch.
So, real quick here, can you remind us what this bill sets out to do?
Right now, under current state regulations, Vermont utilities have to get to 75% renewable power by 2032. This bill would make bigger utilities like Green Mountain Power get to 100% renewable by 2030, and the smaller town-owned utilities get there by 2035. It would also double the amount of power utilities have to buy from renewables built relatively recently in Vermont, and it creates a new requirement that they buy power from new renewables in New England. So think offshore wind here. And the reason there's this focus on new renewable energy is that because we're part of the New England grid, and that grid is mostly powered by natural gas, building new renewables in smart places is one key way we can burn less fossil fuels.
Okay, well, so lawmakers are thinking clearly here about human-caused climate change, definitely an existential concern. But affordability is also top of mind. In other words, how would this affect my electric bill?
Yeah, and what really drives cost here are those new renewables, particularly ones built in Vermont. And the short answer is this would raise electric rates. But the big question here is by how much? Legislative analysts put out a memo last week that breaks the cost of this bill into two buckets. First, there's the cost of buying all this new renewable energy. The cost of renewables is coming down, but building new stuff is expensive. Then there's what it might cost to upgrade our grid, the poles and wires and substations themselves, to make room for all this new renewable power. There's more uncertainty there. Altogether, the analysts expect this policy would cost between $150 million and $450 million by 2035. And that doesn't include upgrades to the distribution systems that utilities own, the more granular parts of the grid. But really, Mitch, it's very hard to know at this point what this would mean for actual electric bills in the future.
Well, what do we know about how much it'll cost to build up the infrastructure necessary to reach these renewable goals?
Long story short, a lot. And a big part of that is that we don't really know what it will cost to upgrade our grid to be ready for these new in-state renewables. Right now, there are places where Vermont doesn't have the grid capacity for any more new renewable generation, and upgrades are expensive. But Velco, the grid operator, says there are some investors who are interested in building transmission lines that would go between Quebec and future offshore wind, potentially through the very burdened parts of Vermont's grid. And that could help a lot. But those projects fail all the time. Transmission is hard to build, so there's some uncertainty there. The Scott administration put out its own cost estimate earlier this year at twice what legislative analysts landed on. They've since agreed that the new numbers are reasonable, but a bit low in their view. Important to note that no matter what we do, Vermont's grid operator says our grid is going to need hundreds of millions of dollars in upgrades to get ready for this new future with more renewables.
So is there any way to keep that cost down?
Yeah, and some environmental groups are saying we need a parallel policy that forces those new renewables to be built in places where we have grid capacity for them. We don't require that right now, which is part of how we got to this imbalance. The Scott administration has advocated for only requiring as many new in-state renewables as we have capacity for now. Renewable developers contend that this bill does that too, but there's disagreement there. And yes, there are other options too, like potentially building in an off-ramp for utilities if rates go up too much.
Abigail, a timing question here. Why do lawmakers feel this is necessary to do right now? I mean, if this is so expensive and Vermont is such a small state, what are people saying about whether we should do this right now?
Going to 100% carbon-free electricity is one of the major pieces of Vermont's climate action plan. All our energy planning says we should do it. And even though there's been disagreement between lawmakers and the Scott administration over how to get there, both agree on this. And as the prospect of offshore wind looms, lawmakers say they want to make sure Vermont utilities are investing in that resource. It could really help lower the region's dependence on fossil fuels. The challenge here is Vermont is a small state. Climate action does cost money. So does adapting to climate change, as we saw with all the floods this summer. And because we're so small, when we take steps to reduce our emissions, we don't always see the financial benefit quite so directly. And some conservative lawmakers and even at least one environmental group are saying, hey, people are struggling with affordability. They can't handle any upward pressure on electric rates. And they point out that utilities and renewable developers who support the bill stand to benefit financially from it, especially from this requirement for new renewables within Vermont. According to the Energy Information Agency, almost 100% of the power Vermont generates is renewable, more than any other state. So we're kind of in uncharted territory here. But others point out Vermont also imports most of our power, and that power tends to be more polluting. They say we need to do everything we can to fight climate change, and cleaner electricity is part of that. So we'll have to see what happens on the House floor.
But another interesting data point here, Vermont is part of the U.S. Climate Alliance, a group of 25 states that have agreed to keep complying with the Paris Accords, even if our federal government pulls out, which we did under former President Donald Trump, though President Biden has since rejoined. But we do have a presidential election coming up. So in aggregate, I think there are some who make the case that there is power here in individual states taking climate action.
That's Vermont Public's climate and environment reporter Abigail Giles. Thank you so much for updating us on this renewable energy bill. And you can find more of Abigail's reporting on climate legislation at vermontpublic.org. Abigail, thanks again.
Thanks, Mitch.